Psalm 23. We're going to begin a series today. I don't know how long it's going to take us, but we're going to begin a series today on Psalm 23. We're just going to kind of go through this verse by verse, expository style preaching, verse by verse. I'm excited about this. This is going to be a good time for us as a church. This is I'll be honest with you, this is a series that I had begun, oh, it's been almost 2 years ago now, and only got a couple verses in. I never got to finish it. And so I'm hoping to be able to finish it with you guys. And you say, hope, what does that mean? Well, if I don't get run over by a bus or if, you know, something bad happens, I guess we're going to finish this crazy thing. But I'm praying the rapture occurs. How about that? Can I pray for that? That'd be a good thing. All right, Psalm 23 this morning. If you want to turn your Bibles there, it's a new year. January 3, 2016, a brand new year. And as you're beginning this year and you look back on the last year, I'm sure there are things in your life last year that happened that you really didn't necessarily appreciate, that you hadn't anticipated, that you thought, man, this is not what I had in mind for me. And sometimes we begin to get frustrated over those things. We say, God, what is going on? Why are you doing these things to us? And at times like that in our lives, people oftentimes turn to the Psalms because the Psalms are comforting, aren't they? Psalm 23 is one of the most well-known psalms in the Bible, if not the most well-known psalm in the Bible. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Even unchurched people have heard that verse before. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. We get comfort out of those verses. We get comfort out of Psalm 23. We get comfort out of these psalms. They teach us things about God. It's worship to God. We sing praise to God. We learn about what it's like to worship God. Psalm 150 is a psalm of worshiping God. Psalm 105, a psalm of thanksgiving. We have these different psalms there. Psalm 23 talks about God in a crazy real way. And it's David expressing his theology on God. As we look at Psalm 23, there are some things in there that we're going to talk about that maybe you've never thought about before in relation to Psalm 23. Honestly, in my studies, my preparation, there are some things, some thoughts that God placed on my heart that, like, wow, God, that's amazing. I never saw that before. I never really comprehended that. Never put it together. Psalm 23, verse 1, we're going to be spending our time today. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not be in want. Psalm 23, verse 1, that talks about not just who God is, but also what he does. There is some rich theology in Psalm 23, verse 1. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not be in want. Peter Jeffrey writes, Psalm 23 is preeminently a psalm of privilege. It speaks throughout of what God does for his people. David is not praying in this psalm. He's not asking God to do something for him. Rather, he is rejoicing in what the Lord has done and continues to do in his life. I would add to that, I say David is not just rejoicing in what God has done, but David is rejoicing in who God is. And on this first Sunday of 2016, we at Grace Church, I hope, will relearn who God is. God is an amazing God, and he's done some great things for us at Grace Church, and he's continuing to do some great things for Grace Church. And we need to be reminded of what he can do because of who he is. I mean, when it comes to God, what do you believe? Finish the sentence. When it comes to God, I believe what? He's omnipotent. Absolutely. He is omnipotent. We know that. We know that in our heads, but sometimes do we know that in our hearts? Do we? Do we really believe these things? Do we believe that God still has the power to heal miraculously like he did in the Old and New Testament over and over and over again? Has God lost the power to heal? Absolutely not. If somebody came in today from the church to join our church just because they're cold outside, right? And they just come in for sanctuary, a little place to rest, and they're sitting in the back, and they do not understand English, do you believe God has the power to change my words so that they can hear it in their own language? Do you believe God has the power to do that? Yes, he does. See, Pastor, whoa, we're getting a little charismatic here. No, I'm not getting charismatic. I'm believing what the Bible says. Do you believe what the Bible says? Has God changed who he is? He is not. David writes, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not be in want. Yahweh is my shepherd. Capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D in the English version. That's Yahweh. Well, who was Yahweh? When David wrote, "The Lord is my shepherd," what did that mean to the Jewish people? What did that mean? Who is the Lord? What does the Lord do? Those are questions we're going to answer today. Who is Yahweh? Well, who is Yahweh? Yahweh is the one who created the earth in 6 days by speaking. Out of nothing, he created everything. Yahweh is the one who parted the Red Sea and the Israelites crossed on dry ground. How amazing is that? Some preachers try to upon that, they try to say, well, it was the Reed Sea, not the Red Sea. It was just a shallow place where the Israelites were able to wade across the Red Sea, across the ocean, whatever it was. Well, that's great because that means the whole Egyptian army drowned in 3 feet of water. I don't care, right? But the Bible says it was dry ground. God did it. I believe it. And God can still do those things today. Joshua, just by speaking, what did he do? He stopped the sun from moving, didn't he? And God did that for him. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, being martyred for their faith, were thrown in the fiery furnace. God miraculously delivered them. They were not burned. They didn't even have the smell of smoke upon them. God himself was with them in the fire. People, do we believe God is still the same God? That is Yahweh. David writes, "The Lord is my shepherd." Yahweh is my shepherd. The creator of everything, the sustainer of everything is my shepherd. The author, the finisher of our faith is my shepherd. My Savior is my shepherd. There is nothing that surprises God. Yes, my life is not what I expected it to be right now, January 3, 2016. You'd ask me last January where I'd be today, it would not have been here. But neither are you guys where you thought you would be, probably, right? And for some of us, that's a disappointment because we had plans. We thought we knew what God wanted for us. And they didn't work out. We say, "God, what are you doing?" It's okay to ask sometimes, "God, what are you doing?" Just never forget that God is the one in control. "God, I don't know what you're doing, but I'm willing to be obedient to you." That's what he wants. He wants obedience. The Lord is your shepherd. Are you willing to follow him? Yahweh is your shepherd. Yahweh, that name the Jewish people wouldn't even say because of how sacred it was, because of how holy it was. That God chose to come down to this earth and have a relationship with us. We could not reach him, so he came to us. How amazing is that? R. Ellsworth writes in his book, Opening Up Psalms, he says, "How astonishing it is to find the words Lord and Shepherd in such proximity." David is asserting that the sovereign ruler of the universe has taken up the menial task of shepherding him. In essence, David is saying, "The Lord is my shepherd. Yahweh, the great and mighty God, the creator, sustainer, holy, righteous God is my shepherd." In our terms today, God's got my back. The creator of everything's got my back. Who's got yours? What you got? Right? I know who's got me. I believe God's got my back. And I can look in the scriptures and see what God has done. And I can look at my own life and see what God has done. Grace Church, you guys can look. We can look together and see what God has done. Can't we? I mean, look at where we are a year, 2 years down the road from where we were. And we talked about the blessings God given us just through the offerings of the month of December. Isn't that God working? Isn't that him showing himself faithful? Isn't that Yahweh proving himself to be our shepherd? And who knows what he has for us coming up this next year? Are we willing to go there with him? God is our shepherd. The Lord is our shepherd. I shall not be in want. Isaiah 6:5. Isaiah says, "Woe to me, I am lost. I'm a man of unclean lips, for my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts." When he saw God, he said, "I'm lost." He thought he was literally a dead man. because of the awesome power of God. And do we truly understand and remember the awesome power of God? Or is it one of these things, when we pray to God, we think of this benevolent Father in heaven who wants to meet every need, and he's just this kind person. He is, but he's more than that. He's just, he's righteous. And he's an awesome God whose very presence brought people to their face. When is the last time you felt God's presence in your life? When is the last time you actually thought about who God is? Thought about the fact that you can talk to the creator of the world? When's the last time we thought about that? When's the last time we thought about the fact that that God has our back? He is our shepherd. So when we sit here and we wonder, God, what are you doing? Are we done here in this world? Is the ministry of Grace Church over? What are we doing? To a degree, we begin to doubt God's power to do crazy, wonderful things through just a few people. What did he do with 300 men for Gideon against thousands? He won, didn't he? Jonathan and his armor bearer defeated during the Philistines by themselves. David took Goliath on. Samuel by himself, 1,000 Philistines. What can one person do? One person who has faith in God, what can that person do? And then you add 2, you add 3, you add 4, you add a church of 50, a church of 60. What can we do when we believe that God is God? What can we at Grace Church do? The challenge is, do we believe God is still the same God today as he was then? When I think of God, I believe what? This last week we watched the movie, Do You Believe? I don't know how many of you guys have ever seen that movie. We watched the movie, Do You Believe? And they asked a question in that movie. They said, if you were ever accused of being a Christian, would there be enough evidence to convict you? That's a good question to ask. I'm going to ask the same sort of question today. If you're accused of believing in God, would there be enough evidence in your life to convict you? Do you really believe God is who he is? Because true belief should change us. It's not required. Salvation is by God, right? Salvation is by God. It does not affect my salvation. That is firmly from God. When I place my faith in Christ for forgiveness of my sins, Christ forgives me. Actions are not required. Just belief. But a true belief, a belief in the living God, when you have that belief and you take it within and you dwell on it and you think about it and you pray about it, you talk to God and you grow in God, it is going to bring about some action in your life. It will do that. Yes, there's such a thing as a backslidden Christian. Absolutely. Yes, you can have a faith, but a faith without works is dead, right? It's still there, but it's dead. Doesn't change the fact that it's still there. It's just, it's useless, right? I went out and went deer hunting. I was talking to Cody earlier today. I was grateful he was with me last time. We had a deer. We killed it. It was dead down at the bottom of the ravine. Was it still a deer? Absolutely, it was still a deer. I had to drag it out. Yes, I hated it, but it didn't change what it was. My faith sometimes can be dead. Absolutely, can't it? Sometimes your faith can do the same thing. And we just sit there and we think, man, God, I just can't move forward. I don't know what you're doing, and I'm stuck. And God says, believe in me. Believe that I'm not done with you yet. I am your shepherd. You will have no wants. Do you really believe that? Do you truly believe that? When it comes to knowing God, one of my professors said, he said this, I copied my class notes. Can you believe it? I still have my class notes from years ago. Apart from divine revelation, there's no way to bridge the gap between the finite and infinite. Thus, God must reach down to man, for man cannot reach God. Apart from divine revelation, there's no way for man to come to knowledge of certain necessary truths. Truths about redemption, character of God, etc., can only be known by his self-revelation. Apart from divine revelation, there's no way to distinguish between truth and error. Knowledge of the true religion as contrast with the false is only possible if God reveals truth. God has chosen to show himself to us so that we can be blown away by who he is. Are you looking for God to work in your life? Are you praising Him for the small things in your life that He's done and sometimes the not so small things? Do we praise Him for those times? Are we looking for God to work? Do we expect God to work? Because if we have a faith in God, a belief in God, a life-changing belief in God, then we expect Him to work. And we say, God, I'm here to go with You. And frankly, it's terrifying because, God, I've seen You do some crazy things, but I'm here for the ride. Let's go. Right? We at Grace Church, are we willing to join God for the ride that He has for us? We know that men have free will, right? We have the ability to make choices. And we can go kicking and screaming. We can absolutely go kicking and screaming. What's the attitude we're going to have this year at Grace Church? Are we going to expect God to do some wonderful things? If God wanted this church to double in size this year, He could do it. Now, how terrifying would that be for us? Think about it. We need new Sunday school teachers. We need more people helping in places. We need more people in Awana. We need more people handing out bulletins. We need more ushers. We need all these greeters. We need a lot of different people if He chose to double us. Would you step up? Would you say, wow, God, You're going to need me this year, and I'm willing to do whatever it is You need me to do? Or are we just going to sit there and try to, boy, God, I wasn't ready for that. You're expecting something from me? What? Well, yeah. You want Him to work. What would He have done if Gideon and said, God, I'm just going to stay home. TV's on. I'm going to watch a football game tonight. Right? He expects some things from us here. If we're going to really believe, we've got to step out in faith. Right? Are we willing to step out in faith? Max Lucado says, God is unchanging, uncaused, ungoverned. He is unchanging. He's always the same. He's never changed. He is the I Am. He is uncaused. There is no beginning. There is no end to God. He created us. It's hard for us to wrap our mind around that. You know, children ask, well, when was God made? Was God ever born? The best way to think about this is to think about when God created things, He created air for us to breathe, but He's a spirit. He doesn't need air, does He? He created the places. He created the earth, food for us. We cannot live without food, can we? But God does not need food. We as people cannot live without time. Time is a measurement tool for us. God doesn't live within time. He created time for us. He's beyond time. As one person explained it to me, he said, imagine looking at a Rose Bowl parade this last week. I don't want to talk about the game, but the Rose Bowl parade, okay? If you're up there in the blimp, you can see the beginning, you can see the end all at once. Or if you're sitting on the curb, you see what's just in front of you. He said, God is the one who's in the blimp. He can see creation to the very time when Christ comes back, all at the same time. Whereas we're the person on the curb. We see just what's in front of us. God is the one who's over everything. He is uncaused. He is unchanging. He is ungoverned. In other words, nobody tells God what to do. I cannot expect God to fit within my box. God says, I don't fit in any box. That's why I challenge you today to think, do you believe God still heals? Do you think God still has the power to change my language into someone else's language miraculously? Do you believe He can do that? Absolutely He can do that. Do we pray for Him expecting Him to do these things? We say, well, He doesn't do that anymore. Well, how do you know? You ever asked? And there are people that say, yes, God has done those things for me. I know God has done those things for me. And that's an amazing thing to be part of, to feel the Spirit of God move and to see Him work. God can do those things. I mean, let's look at just the creation for just a minute, the things that God created, and I got to move quickly. But think about this for just a minute. So the earth, if you put the earth on a scale where the earth was a half inch wide, all right, just half an inch. And then you put that up against the largest star in our universe, VOI Canis Majoris. On that scale, the largest star is 1.3 miles. This is a measurement. Remember, day four, God spoke this in one day, spoke into existence. It takes, at 600 miles an hour, it takes about 43 hours to fly around the earth. The largest star, that same speed, 1,100 not days, weeks, or months, but years to fly around. and God spoke it. Are you kidding me, people? This should bring shivers to us that we're actually sitting here worshiping God. Are you kidding me? He spoke that. We are one universe, the Milky Way galaxy. We are one in an estimated 180 billion galaxies. We have 400 billion stars in ours. Others have up to 100 trillion. If you added all the known stars that we have together, it's a septillion. That's one followed by 24 zeros. I wrote it out once. That's a big number. And he created it in one day. And then he said, I want to have a relationship with you. It's no wonder David cries out in Psalm 8, what is man that you're mindful of him, the son of man that you care for him, right? It should humble us that God, who created all these things, looks down at us in our mess that we're living in and says, I want to be your shepherd. Amen, God. Are you kidding me? This is God that we're praising today. This is the same God that's got something for us as a church. People, I'm excited. And I feel that we at Grace Church are on the brink of something. God is taking us somewhere that we never thought we could go. We never saw him doing that. And God's like, people, I'm coming. Are you ready? We at Grace Church, are we ready for God to be our shepherd this week? Are you ready for what God's got for you? Are you ready to answer the call when God says, look, we're doing something. Are you coming along with us? Or are you going to sit? What are you going to do? Are you going to come or are you going to sit? What are you going to do? He's your shepherd. He's calling. He's calling. That's a great thing about a shepherd. A shepherd leads, don't they? My grandpa raised sheep. And every day he crossed some road. We'd have him out in the barnyard. He'd let him out in the morning. He'd feed him in the barnyard. Then he'd walk over to the gate. He'd call for him. They'd come over to the gate. He'd open the gate. They'd cross the road to the other side of the pasture ground. Then every evening he'd go back across. He'd call for him. They'd come run to the gate, and he'd let them cross the barnyard every evening. He called, and they come. God's got something for us at Grace Church. He's calling us to something greater than maybe we've ever been before. Are we willing to come? Who is God? He is a great, awesome God who has created us. He's given us the power to be here today to have a relationship with him through the death of his son. That's who God is. And what's he doing right now? He is shepherding us. What's a shepherd do? A shepherd provides for us, doesn't he? He's giving us the provisions that we need. He's giving us enough. Sometimes we want more. And God says, why do you want more? Haven't I given you enough? Being content with enough is sometimes all that God wants from us. You don't see a little sheep pulling up piles of grass and stalking in the corner for tomorrow, do you? They're just out there enjoying what they have today. And are we willing to enjoy what God has given us today? And are we willing to praise him for it? Say, God, today you've given me enough. Thanks, God. And he says, yes, and tomorrow I'm going to give you enough too. We look at some things in front of us. We say, God, it's not possible for these things to happen. How can you do this? The Bible talks a lot about possibilities with God. Genesis 18:14. Just write these passages down if you want to. Genesis 18:14. Is anything too hard for the Lord? Job 42:2. I know that you can do all things. No purpose of yours can be thwarted. Jeremiah 32:27. I am the Lord, the God of all mankind. Is anything too hard for me? Matthew 19:26. Jesus looked at them and said, with man this is impossible. With God all things are possible. In Luke 1, the angel comes to Mary. Mary finally asked, she said, and he said, you're going to have a baby. You're a virgin. You're going to have a baby. She said, how is this possible? The angel says, no word from God will ever fail. What God says will come to pass. Romans 8:28-31. Romans 8:28, many of us know. Well, read the rest of this passage. Think about this for us as Grace Church. We know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. That's us, right? We've been called according to his purpose, haven't we? For those God foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brothers and sisters. And those he predestined, he also called. Those he called, he justified. Those he justified, he glorified. What then shall we say in response to these things? And this is it right here, people. If God is for us, who can be against us? Praise God. You talk about a sense of humor. It's David writing Psalm 23, "The Lord is my shepherd. I have no wants." When I was a teenager, we had a response to that. Well, duh. Right? If God is our shepherd, we shall have no wants because the Lord is my shepherd. The Lord is our shepherd. And He's got some crazy things coming for us, Grace Church. And today, remember who God is. And because He is that God, He does anything He wants to do. Are we going to join Him? He's providing. He's taking care of us. He's there. And right now, He's calling us. Are we coming along? So what? What does this mean? What does this mean for us? Well, a couple things. One, if you've never placed your faith in Christ for the forgiveness of your sin, simple application here, He's not your shepherd. This whole sermon really means nothing to you because He is not your shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. Yes, He's my shepherd. If I am part of His flock, if I have placed my faith in Jesus for the forgiveness of my sins, if I am part of His family, then He is my shepherd. Otherwise, not so much. So if you're sitting here today and you've never placed your faith in Christ, then He's not your shepherd. He ain't got your back. And that's a scary place to be. But that can be resolved today. All it takes is just admitting, you know what, God? You are God. And You have taken the punishment for my sin, God. I ask You to forgive it. And He is faithful and just and will forgive us from all unrighteousness. 1 John 1:9. He will forgive us. But if you're sitting here today and you are a believer and you sit and think about this, what does this mean for you? Well, this can mean a scary thing for us. Because He may be calling us to do something that He may call us to stretch ourselves. Are we willing to believe and remember that God is who He is and He has never changed throughout all of mankind? And everything He did in the Bible that we read, He can still do today. And are you brave enough, courageous enough to go with Him? Are we expecting God to be God? That's a good question. Sometimes we put Him in this little box and we say, well, God, I don't think You can do this anymore. But are you expecting God this year, 2016, to be God? Are you expecting that? God, we come to You today, Lord. We're just blown away by Your awesome power, by who You are, and by really the fact You want a relationship with us. God, help us to never, never forget what You've done. And Lord, there are so many more things we can talk about that just show who You are and show Your awesome handiwork. God, I praise You. Praise You, God. Thank You, Lord, for being who You are. In Jesus' name, amen. Today is communion.